I'm Georgia, this is Andy, and welcome back to No Time for Neutral, where even the announcement of a new Taylor Swift album isn't enough to distract us from the fascist takeover that's currently happening in Washington, D.C.
So true. I bet Trump's paying attention, though. You know, like, he's really into Sydney Sweeney these days.
Yeah.
And hates T.S.
Like, notoriously hates Taylor.
Yeah.
She's always on his mind. But what was also on his mind this week was calling in the National Guard and federalizing Metro Police in our capital Monday morning. He claims that D.C. is just ridden with crime and squalor, and he said that this was like Liberation Day.
Wow.
If he could get a new shtick about like the Liberation Day thing, that'd be cool. We could be a little more original, I feel like. But yeah, so this has never happened before. So under the Home Rule Act of 1973, D.C. has a city council, but Congress controls their budget, and all laws passed by the council have to be approved by Congress. So Congress and the president kind of function as like their governor and their legislature. So Donald Trump just decided that he was going to call a national or call an emergency for D.C., which gives him the power to federalize the D.C. police for 30 days. He can only do it for 30 days without congressional, like, extension. But he's also sent 800 National Guard troops into D.C. streets in an effort to reduce crime, which is interesting because according to literally everybody except the White House, D.C.'s crime rate is at, like, a 30-year low.
I read that. It's at a 30-year low.
Like, violent crime is at a 30-year low.
Crazy. So why do you think he's doing this?
Because he can.
It's a political play.
It's a political play. It's a power play. More than anything, he just wants to flex his muscles. And if I had to speculate, show Gavin Newsom the power that he has. Because Gavin Newsom's been a real pain in his side when it comes to the Texas redistricting, the LA protest. Gavin Newsom has been Donald Trump's enemy for the last couple of months. So part of it feels like a little bit of a, I'm the tough guy in town, not you, buddy, to me. But either way, it's wildly concerning. I would love if we could stop calling in the military to cities just because.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. Like, I really feel for the people of Washington, D.C. right now. I mean, generally, I feel bad for them because they're not technically a state, so they don't get the benefits of being a state in the United States in the first place, let alone, like, now the president is calling in the National Guard, which, by the way, folks, is going to cost us
in lots tax of money.
Dollars.
Lots
right?
of money.
Right? So let's... Yeah, think about that.
It cost like $135 million or something like that when he deployed the National Guard to California.
Insane.
And then the troops that he sent to California had no food, no water, and were sleeping on the floor.
Wow.
So,
total disregard about our troops.
He just wants the spectacle.
Right. He wants the spectacle. But like I said, I feel really bad for the people in D.C. that have to like survive this shit.
Right. I can't imagine the vibes.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that that's going over very well. Because I was saying to my partner earlier today that the person I'm really feeling for today is D.C.'s delegate in the House of Representatives. And I say delegate intentionally because she has no voting power. She just gets to hang out and say her piece and hope she makes enough friends that, like, people get on board with her and help her out. Because she has no voting power.
Right.
And that's kind of what's hard about this. Is because if Trump tried to do this to L.A., to New York, you would have a governor, you would have a state legislature standing in the way of an action like that. At least at some point, right? And D.C. has no protection like that.
Right. I guess just another reason to bring up potential Washington, D.C. statehood.
No kidding. I actually, the DNC posted something on social media over the weekend or early Monday calling for D.C. statehood.
Yeah.
Which is something that's come in and out of Democratic politics in the last couple of years, decades really, but yeah. It'll be interesting to see where that goes after this, to see if there's actually any kind of coalition building around DC and them being essentially weaponized because they don't have the same protections.
Right.
And then the other thing is that this is literally just another one of his distractions. It's just part of his game. He's trying to pull everyone's attention away from his shitty job numbers, the fact that inflation just cracked 3%, he's kicking 17 million Americans off healthcare. Oh yeah, and he's in the Epstein files, which is why he won't release them. He is doing everything he can to shift public perception away from that. He wants his base and, in general, the American people to believe his fantasy that everyone's living in penthouses and eating caviar like him and his buddies, when that is, like, absolutely not the reality
right on
the ground.
Yeah.
When the truth is that he is a dictator at this point driving the country into the ground, and he's doing nothing but playing games with the media and everyone's attention. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an important point, especially during August recess, while nothing's happening in Congress and things are a lot slower. Do not let them forget these things. They did these things, and it feels like a while ago now, because it was in the spring and it's the end of summer, and I know that feels so far away. But we can't forget these things.
Yeah.
These are the things we have to all carry with us from now and through November of next year and through November of 28 after that.
Yeah. You're right. Distraction after distraction after distraction. Like, a lot of Trump's campaign promises have come true, those of which were in Project 2025, like
yeah.
The horrifying shit.
You mean the campaign that wasn't his campaign?
Right, that he denied over and over again. Many of those things have unfortunately come true. The campaign promises that have not come true were his meat and potatoes promises to the American people.
Right.
Like, we're going to lower the cost of groceries. I'm going to end foreign wars day one. He's implementing tariffs, which if anybody with a shred of knowledge would know, that tariffs don't make the cost of goods in your country go down.
No.
They skyrocket.
Oh, yeah.
Today, I got an email from the Missoulian apologizing that they have to temporarily raise my monthly fee by $5. I have an e-subscription, by the way.
I was going to wonder.
Due to tariffs.
Interesting.
They are raising my e-subscription by $5.
That feels like a little bit of a jip.
Well, they said tariffs, so we're just going to go with it.
You need the news anyway. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I want to support journalists, so.
I saw something that said that Americans are going to pay 67% of the tariff costs of the increases that we'll see from this crazy, absolutely unnecessary trade war.
That's insane.
American consumer pays 2/3 of that increased price.
Insane. I ordered t-shirts for work the other day.
Oh, yeah.
4 t-shirts from this foreign company came to $67 mm-hmm. for the printing and everything. But it gave me a line item of the costs, and $17 went to tariffs.
Like, specifically.
Specifically. $17 of the $60-plus purchase was tariffs.
Oh, my goodness. But,
does not make sense. Hence distractions.
Exactly. So, needless to say, it's been a bad couple of days for legal precedent. And, unfortunately, I'm not even through half of it yet. You ready for the next one?
I've braced myself. Let's go.
Okay. So the Supreme Court has now officially been asked to overturn Obergefell v. Hodges, which is the Supreme Court ruling that legalized gay marriage in 2015.
Can you explain to our listeners what that means?
Yes. So I'll give you guys a little bit of background. The woman bringing the case, she was put in jail for 6 days.
Kim Davis, everybody.
Oh, is this like...
Oh, yeah. She's resurfaced.
Oh, tell me. I'm unaware.
Oh, yeah. The gays don't like Kim Davis.
What'd she do?
Yeah. She denied marrying people in Kentucky.
Okay.
Once marriage became the law of the land in 2015, which is why she ended up in jail.
Sure.
For denying legal marriage requests.
For breaking the law.
So she was breaking the law.
Nice.
Correct. 10 years later, still don't like her.
So this is the woman, and apparently she's back.
Yeah.
That's what she did. She's now bringing this case, mainly on religious reasons.
Yeah.
It's kind of unclear at the moment how the legal experts are feeling about its fate, like the ruling, and whether gay marriage is going to stand or not. A federal appeals court, one of the clerks wrote, I'm going to just pull up the quote so I don't butcher this here. It says that Kim Davis cannot raise the First Amendment as a defense because she's being held liable for state action, which the First Amendment doesn't protect. Mm. So if she were being sued by the gay couple, she could maybe make this claim. Mm. But it was the state that put her in jail. That is where this whole problem arises.
Sure.
But also, I don't trust the Supreme Court at all.
Yeah.
Whatsoever, considering they've been kind of leading us up to this for the last couple of years now anyways.
Yeah. It's a scary time. It's truly a scary time for gay, queer, trans, all minority people right now. And yeah, I'll just provide a little bit of what I know. During the Biden administration, folks saw this coming because of the reversal of Roe v. Wade with the Dobbs decision during Trump's last presidency.
Right.
We recognize that, you know, if Dobbs fell, so can other things.
Right.
And marriage equality being one of those potential things. So during the Biden administration, Democrats got together with Republicans because they needed 10 Republican votes for this. And they passed the Respect for Marriage Act.
Okay.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but what Respect for Marriage does is it protects legally recognized marriages if the Supreme Court were to reject marriage equality.
Right.
And it would also protect the right to marry in states where they passed legal same-sex marriage. So unfortunately, Montana is not one of those states, but California is one of those states. Mm-hmm. Massachusetts is one of those states. Colorado is one of those states. But even Montana, if gay marriage were no longer a thing, would still have to recognize legal marriages.
So if the Obergefell ruling fell, marriage equality was no longer protected on the federal level, anyone could go and get married in Colorado, where it's legal there and protected, and they can bring their Colorado marriage license back to Montana and say, hello, I am married, and the state has to recognize that.
Yeah.
Just want to throw that out there for the folks who say that Democrats don't get things done when they have the majority.
Yeah.
Because we have to do things like this. We have to put in safeguards like this. And at the time, it didn't feel like we needed it because we had the federal protection at the Supreme Court level. And guess what? We are officially in a point where we might not have that anymore.
Yeah.
But this is what Democrats got done.
And let's remind folks, the reason the Supreme Court is the way it is was because Trump got lucky and had the power to appoint three hardcore conservative members to that Supreme Court.
Mitch McConnell.
And prior to that, Mitch McConnell held back one of Obama's appointees. So it's been a long time coming, and it's a very scary time.
Right. And so, Andy, you mentioned that they've kind of hinted to this in previous Supreme Court rulings and such. And you're right, because in the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe v. Wade, Clarence Thomas hinted at going after Griswold v. Connecticut, which is you have privacy within a marriage. It's one of those foundational pieces to the right to privacy and also the right to contraceptives and birth control. The other one is Lawrence v. Texas, which is interracial marriage.
Isn't he in an interracial marriage?
Yes! So is J.D. Vance. I feel like half of them are.
It doesn't add up.
Mitch McConnell? Like, I don't get it. I don't know if they're just that dumb. Like, it really doesn't click. Or if they just think they're so high and mighty and special that it just doesn't apply to them.
Sure.
Which is maybe my guess. And the last legal precedent that they're coming after, at least all of the ones I'm prepared to talk about today, is what's called the EPA endangerment finding. and this sounds really like techie and weird and scary, but I'm going to try to break it down. So in 2009, a group of scientists from the EPA got together and like figured out and decided that greenhouse gases are harmful to public health.
Correct.
Tracks. And so the EPA published this finding and said, hey guys, these aren't good for us. And this finding is what allowed for Obama to make the green energy expansions he did while he was in office.
Okay.
So after this finding, while Obama was in office, he was able to limit greenhouse gas emissions on cars and power plants and things like that to keep greenhouse gases out of the air and therefore improve public health. Seems like it makes sense to me. But this is the finding that they kind of base everything off of. Science, hard for me to begin with. Bureaucratic science, like the EPA, even harder to understand. So like completely honest, I don't know all of the details. But from what I understand, they use this finding to justify taking actions against climate change, specifically around like carbon emissions and greenhouse gases.
Wow.
So if the EPA was to repeal this finding, which is what they are talking about, we would kind of just lose the basis of our climate policy. And at that point, why do we even have the EPA? The Environmental Protection Agency.
So they've essentially manipulated the EPA as an organization to go against everything it stands for, which is protecting the environment to keep us safe and healthy.
Right.
And the earth from blowing up.
Yeah.
No, wow.
It's because the guys that Trump put into the EPA couldn't care less if the rivers go dry, if the fish turn up dead, if we end up sick from pollution. They could care less. It doesn't affect them. But I'm sure Trump has some little nice deal cut out for them in somehow, some way.
Yeah.
That they're going to do whatever he says.
Yeah.
And that's how we're ending up here in like literally every freaking place.
Yeah.
Is because when he took over, he was just able to install loyalists.
Mm-hmm. Profit over people. That's their mentality.
That's all they know.
Yeah. Money over their constituents. Yeah.
Speaking of money over constituents, you want to know who I beef with again this week? Northwestern Energy.
Oh.
It's Northwestern Energy.
I could have guessed that.
It's always Northwestern Energy. So, again, this is another very intricate science techie topic. So I'm not 100% sure on all the details, but from what I understand, Northwestern Energy is attempting to partner with and serve 4 data centers in Montana. They are AI data centers, and it's like where the AI runs, I think, or something. It's all really weird. All I know is that there are giant supercomputers everywhere, and they take tons and tons and tons of electricity to run. And then they take tons and tons and tons of water to cool the computer down because of how, like, fast and strongly the computer is running. So for some comparison, Northwestern Energy has to put out about 500 megawatts mm-hmm. or so of electricity every day mm-hmm. for Montana customers. To serve these 4 data centers, Northwestern Energy would have to put out an extra 2,100 to just those data centers. Not to the rest of us. To just those data centers, they would have to like double or triple their production.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, will these data centers be producing energy that will therefore make our monthly cost lower?
No.
Oh. Well, why the hell are they doing it then?
Because they like money.
I'm kidding.
They could care less if we have any money. But yeah, they're claiming that like they are finding a way to like efficiently shift their cost structure across their broadening customer base.
Sure.
That means we pay more.
Yeah.
They make money, we pay more.
It's not making it easier for us.
No, of course not. And like, sure, would the data centers create jobs? Probably. I have no idea how many. But given that it's all computers and that AI is taking everyone's jobs already, I'm not super hopeful that it's going to be jobs by like leaps and bounds at all.
Yeah, I can't imagine and like, hundreds of jobs created because of this.
The utility overload on this state, the environmental impact of us trying to like, I don't know where they plan on getting all this water. Pipeline on the High Line just got fixed. Flathead Lake's been running low for a couple of years now.
Yikes.
All the rivers have been on hoot owl for a month, so you can't even fish them in the afternoon because they're so low and so warm. Like, we literally just don't have the capacity to handle at least not four of them. Not at this kind of a scale.
Crazy.
But North Western Energy's never really cared about us. Naturally. But, so the PSC is taking a look and they're figuring something out. I don't think there's been anything made formal quite yet. But we'll keep you guys updated
if it does. So, does the PSC have any power in this? They basically would approve?
I think so. I think they have to approve the project.
Got it.
Because Northwestern Energy is a utility monopoly regulated by the PSC, so it makes sense to me that if they were going to add like multi-million dollar project.
Sure. So for our listeners, the PSC is the Public Service Commission.
Right.
And we vote for our public service commission representatives. There's five of them in Montana, all of which are Republican.
This is a great plug, Andy.
Thank you.
Yes.
Five in Montana, all of which are Republican. The reason all of them are Republican is because these PSC districts have been extremely gerrymandered, and there's actually been a lawsuit around this recently.
Right.
So these five Republicans, of course, are probably going to approve this because profit over people, remember. Just remember next time you vote for the Public Service Commission in your area.
Right. No, that's a great plug. PSC is one of those races that, like, flies under the radar for reasons. It's utilities. That's not sexy. That's not eye-catching. Mm-hmm. Not in the way that other political races can be.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this is what they do.
Yeah.
And this is why your local races are so important.
Yeah. However, the position itself is very sexy because they don't do a whole lot, and those elected officials make over $100,000 a year.
So if anybody wants to run for the Public Service Commission,
give us
a ring.
Good Dems out there that care about the people in this state and want to make $100,000 a year, you should run for the Public Service Commission.
Yeah. All right, Annie, I don't know if you're a Swiftie or not.
I'm a Taylor Swift fan, but I wouldn't consider myself like a hardcore Swiftie.
Okay. I would say I am probably more of a hardcore Swiftie than you. I went to the Eras Tour.
Okay.
In Seattle.
Then yes.
It was like the best time of my life.
Okay.
So she dropped an album.
Interesting. Just today?
You didn't know this?
No.
Yeah, she dropped it at midnight or something on, I never know if it's Travis's podcast or Jason's podcast, but one of the Kelce boys, their podcast.
Her boyfriend?
Yeah.
The football player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Which, I don't love that. Girl, you are like super famous pop star all on your own, and we're gonna announce it on your football player boyfriend's podcast. Come on, girl, we're better than this.
Maybe they needed the views.
Maybe.
You know, everybody has a podcast these days.
Charity work.
I'm sure their viewership doesn't come anywhere near No Time for Neutrals, so she probably went
on. They probably needed the help.
Yeah.
But also, girl, if you wanna help us out too.
Here's your invitation.
Join
Georgie and Andy for next week's No Time for Neutral.
But it's called The Life of a Showgirl.
Okay.
It's her 12th album.
Wow.
And it's the first album she's getting to release after she finally owns all of her masters.
12 albums.
12 albums.
That doesn't seem possible. Like, I feel like she just came out with that first country bop. Our song is a silver screen, slams a green door.
There it is.
Yeah.
I was like six when that came out. She's been putting out music like my whole life.
Ow.
It does make me worry, though, like, we, like, 13, like, she was born on the 13th, but 13 is, like, her number, right? It makes me wonder a little bit if she's going to do 12 and do 13 and be done.
See, only a Swiftie would think like that.
Sorry, exposing myself here. But, so yeah, I saw that this morning, and that's kind of my good news of the day. If you're not a Taylor Swift fan, sorry. But my other update is while I was traveling, I actually tried Ethiopian food.
Yum.
For the first time. I had a friend who'd been to the restaurant and she did all the ordering, because it was very, very overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Totally different food that I've ever had before, but it was so, so, so incredibly good.
You eat
good.
It with your hands.
You eat it with your hands and bread.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a weird, like, spongy bread.
Yeah.
Threw me off a bit at first, but you eat with your hands and it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, left and I was all grumpy about how, like, I'm going to be thinking about this all the time and I'm never going to be able to find anything like it because I live in Montana. And then I just, like, happened to be, like, on social media. And I saw that Masala, here in Missoula, is actually now doing, like, an Ethiopian and Eritrean food night on Sundays.
Wow. Oh, I love that.
So I will be checking this out.
Amazing.
Very soon.
Go Masala.
Yeah. But yes, I'm very happy to be home. I got, like, out of the airport, off the plane, and, like, took a deep breath. And I was like, so that's why I felt like I couldn't breathe for the last week.
Hmm.
The air's just different here. It's so much better than in the cities.
We're lucky to live where we live.
So true. Speaking of protecting our environment, you know?
Yeah.
What'd you do this weekend? Or last week? I haven't seen you in a minute.
Yeah, it's been a while. Well, this last week, Missoula County Democrats hung out at the Western Montana Fair.
How'd that go?
From Tuesday through Sunday. It went really well.
Nice.
We got all of our volunteers together and some candidates and just talk to people passing by the fair.
Nice.
Hundreds and hundreds of people passing by our booth.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a great time. Russell Cleveland, who's running for Congress in the Western District, joined us for 3 or 4 days.
That was good.
Yeah. Talked to a lot of people.
Good.
And yeah, we love the fair.
All you kinds do of people, love the fair.
Yeah. All kinds of people come, and it's a great place to people watch.
I was so mad when I saw the dates were literally the entire time I was gone.
Yeah.
It started the day I left, and it ended the day I came back.
Yeah. The food is great. You can't
so
beat fair
true.
Food. Although, lots of my friends were really sad that the, what are they called? Pigtails?
It's like something like that.
The inside of a baked potato, and they, like, sell that.
Mm.
Anyway, it's a thing at the fair.
I grew up in Great Falls, so I'm a Montana State Fair girl. That is, like, my bread and butter.
Did I ever tell you that I sung on stage at the state fair when I was a teenager?
No, that's awesome.
So I won this karaoke competition in Wolf Point, Montana, and I got the opportunity to sing at the state fair in Great Falls.
What did
you
sing?
It was called the Colgate Country Showdown, and it was a country competition, and
I'm trying to, like, picture little you in this.
Yeah. I'll find an old picture or something. But yeah, it was an experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I definitely either sang a Luke Bryan song or...
Oh, probably.
Maybe it was Josh Turner. I can't remember. Or Kenny Chesney, maybe.
That might have been more the time, actually. 90s?
Georgie!
You're not... how old are you?
2000s.
Yeah, that's fair. That's my fault. I can't do math.
I think I'm older than I am.
I don't know. Time's weird. I've realized that once you get out of college, like, everyone is just kind of the same age.
True.
Like, I don't ever feel a need to know how old anyone is ever, obviously. Until I go and do something like that.
32. I'm 32.
I'm 22.
There you go. A full decade separates us.
You got anything else for the people today?
No.
I don't think so. Hang in there, folks. It's going to be a long ride.
We just wanted to take a moment during our podcast to acknowledge what happened in Anaconda recently. the shooting in which four people died. Those people known and loved in their community of Anaconda, Nancy Kelly, Daniel Bailey, David Leach, and Tony Palm. Our hearts go out to their families and friends and the people of Anaconda, because I know this isn't easy and the community is hurting.
Right.
You know, things like this just aren't that common in our rural state.
Not
and
at
I
all.
Think a lot of the mentality is it's not going to happen here.
Until it does.
And who knows why it happened, but it's a terrible, sad thing. So yeah. Our hearts go out to the friends and family of those that lost their lives and the people of Anaconda.